Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is our lesson for the day. The authors have entitled that lesson, God's Overflowing Love. God is love. We found out last week that because God is love, it is essential to his character. It is not about how he loves, it's the fact that he loves, it is his character. It is his character. In other words, love is his character. And I shared with you two definitions that we normally work with, a commitment to the satisfaction, security, development of the object of your love with the expressed intent of meeting all the needs of the object of your love. Commitment, long wordy. Then Martin Luther King got in and said that love is creative, redemptive, goodwill for all men. In other words, love seeks your interests despite what may happen to the author or the giver of that love. In other words, love is creative. Love will find a way. Brother John took us there, but then we moved to Paul had to get in on this thing. And Paul says, I just believe that the gospel is for everybody, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, and that people should know the good news of Jesus Christ. And that while I write to the Romans, I'll tell you that, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he went on to write to the churches at Ephesus, and he tells them about how they were saved. And in chapter 1, he tells them the lasting effect of your salvation. In other words, in that chapter 1, he says that you are sealed, and because you are sealed, you're something special now, and your citizenship doesn't reside here in this earth, but your citizenship resides in heaven. And it brings us to chapter 2, and he says, and you have he quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sin. In other words, whenever we think about God and his love, we must remember, first of all, of what we were. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you look good now. You smell good. You know, you're acting pretty decent on a different day. But in order to really understand the depths, the abundance, the mammoth virtue of God's love, you must first consider what you were. And Paul here says, you were dead. So the first thing you got to realize is that you were dead. And so in order for God to love you, God had to love dead stuff. You were literally dead in every way. The only thing that you were doing was inhaling and exhaling. But spiritually, you knew not the life of God. There was no spirit of God in you. And any man, any woman who does not have the spirit of God in them is dead. Paul says he knows that God loves him because he was dead. Paul once declared that he was chief of all sinners. Paul says, you don't get no dirtier than me. In other words, God had to get down in the dirt. But you know, God just has a way, even though he's holy and he's righteous in every way, he has a way of dealing with dirt. From the very beginning, before the fall, he knew that he was going to have to play in the dirt sooner or later. So he just bought you from dirt. Because in Genesis, it's recorded that he reached in the dirt of the ground and he formed man. He created man. And now we find that in order for him to love you, he's got to go and deal in all your mess. Because Paul here in verse 1 says that if you don't really understand how deep God's love is, just think about where you came from, what you were. And Paul says, if you keep on messing with me, I'll jump over on another and tell you that you ain't far from where you started from. That you were dead in your trespasses. You were doomed. You were lost. And God loves you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but you get to thinking about what you were.
Yes.
I mean, your own account. You don't run your own talent. Don't try to get in on mine. Don't try to figure out what I've done. I may or may not be transparent enough to tell you. But you know what? All you got to do is remember what you've done.
Yes.
And you'll get me. I may not have done everything you've done. And I may have done some things you never would even contemplate. But I'm going to tell you, all of us were dead in our transgressions. We were dead to sin. We were doomed. And Paul says, when you think about that you were dead and that God literally went in the graveyard to do something for you, we won't go nowhere. When people going on, that's it. You know, we eat a little chicken and we move on. You know, we may think about them every now and then, but I know y'all folk, I know this culture. Y'all don't mess around in the graveyard. But God went to the graveyard because that's where you and I were. We were dead. Verse 2 says what? Paul slaps him right in between the eyes here. Do you realize what he says? Do you realize? Let me translate this for you. You let the world, who knows nothing about living, tell you how to live, and you did it. Oh, that's exactly what it says. In times past, you walked according to the world. You lived the way the world wanted you to live. You ain't thought about God. You ain't prayed to God. You weren't thinking about God. You weren't visiting God. You weren't doing nothing godly. You were walking according to the world. You let the world tell you how to live. You were dead. See, dead folk hang out with dead things. Dead ain't, living folk don't have much to do with dead folk. As a matter of fact, in the Jewish culture, this is such a vivid illustration. In the Jewish culture, they ain't even touch the dead. You would become ceremonially unclean to touch them. The priest would. So that's why they bury them as quick as they can. Don't want to do nothing with dead stuff. But God loved you and I so much, he was willing to touch us. He hung out with us. Even though we were living in total disobedience. As a matter of fact, he's going to say in verse 3 that we were sons of disobedience. I heard some of you laugh. You know, people talking about you can be a son of something, but, you know, to be a son of disobedience, I mean, you don't know how to act right at all. And ain't none of us know how to act all right. You real cute right now. Yeah, you're ready, but I know, and the reason I know, I'm one of y'all. Ain't nothing special about me. I'm one of y'all. Subject to the same kind of nature. First of all, we got the exact same nature, and that nature is to rebel against God.
Yes.
We don't want nothing to do with God. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus even said over there, what scripture, what Bible, what book? Oh, John, yeah, John 5:40. Says y'all won't come. He'll call it. Y'all won't come. Paul picks up. Somebody go to Romans 9:16 for me right quick. And just read it. Because normally I always give y'all, there's none righteous, no, not one. But I want to show you that Paul, this was the theme with Paul. Let anybody get there? Romans 9:16. In other words, it ain't nothing to do with y'all. Y'all ain't nothing good about y'all. And ain't nothing you can do. And matter of fact, I want you to stay right there, Ms. Melba, because you're going to help me out a little bit later. But I wanted to set that up. In other words, you act good now, but where did you come from? And you really got to think about. I mean, most folk, they sit up. They're in church, and they may be waving their hands, and they may be just crying. And you'd be wondering, what's he crying for? What's he crying for? But when you think about the life that you and I led,
yes, Lord.
And yet God loves me?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wait a minute, y'all didn't hear me. It brings more meaning to John 3:16 now.
Yes.
In other words, God so loved me. In other words, he loved me more than I deserve.
Yes.
Oh, Paul will go on and tell. He loves me much more than I deserve, because here's what I deserve. I deserve Romans 6:23. I earn wages. And anybody that works that hard wants to get paid. I tell you what, there's not a person in here come Friday or the end of the month or the first of the month, you didn't work and they don't pay you, you won't be mad. And God is an excellent paymaster. And God says in his word that the wages of sin is death. In other words, you work for this. That's what you do. You don't work for eternal life. You work for death. Wait a minute. You work for death, not eternal life, because you're a worker of iniquity. That's your nature. I mean, that's how you make your funds. That's how you make your ends. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. I told y'all it weren't right. Paul says, I'm going to tell you what, because somebody was sitting here thinking, I ain't did all of that. And Paul said, what about your life of lust? That conversation there, that's life, that's living. In times past, you yielded on to the flesh. In times past, you yielded on to the flesh. Well, I'm going to tell you, sometimes your past catches up with your present.
Yes.
Because every time you think that God had to look at you doing some of the stuff you were doing and still loved you. See, because he had a commitment to the satisfaction, security, and development of you. Most folk in here, if they knew or if they saw what you've done in the past, they'd have a different view of you. And you know how I know it? Because there's some folk you do know something about. And when you see them, I hear you through the grumblings. I got very sharp ears. I sit on that second row, but I can hear all of you back there from about the third last row on up. I can hear every word you're saying. Can't see nothing, but I can hear a lot. Here she come. Why she moving on this seat? Why don't he move over there? Oh, girl, he sure don't smell like Chanel number 5 today. But imagine God. He didn't even have to hold his nose to love you. To get all up on you, have you all up on him, all up in his presence. He loved you. You yielding to the flesh. You just think about that. Just think. Paul is asking you. You were dead. And for those of you that are alive now, you got to remember how abundant God's love was there, because he had to love you in all your mess.
Thank you, Lord.
Creative.
Yes.
Redemptive. He had to find a way to love you. And some of you are hard to love now. I know. Because God says, love ye one another. And if I'm having a hard time loving you, and I'm of God, and you, something must be wrong. Listen. He says, in times past, you lived according to the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby nature, children of wrath,
even as others. By nature, you were children of judgment. Condemned folk. Dead men walking. Dead men, dead women, dead boys, dead girls, walking around, living in the flesh. And God loves you. See, let me tell you something. Can I be honest with y'all? This is a real in fact. It's going to be startling. Some of y'all may not like me after this, but I got to tell you the truth. I ain't God. Because loving y'all is a tough thing when I think about it. See, that's me on my high horse. When I think about what all you've done. Paul here says, no. Every one of you ought to think about what you've done. And God loves you. See, the reason I can still love you is because I know that God loves me. God loved me in all my mess. Past, present, and future. He has loved me, he is loving me, and he will love me. Because that God is love. So in other words, Paul tells us to remind us that we were all dead and God loved us. Now, if you can love something dead, but yet has a spirit of wrath, something dead ain't supposed to be moving, but it's moving everywhere. It's going everywhere it ain't supposed to go. Doing everything it's not supposed, but dead. And God loved us. Somebody in verse 4. Matter of fact, everybody. I just want you to read one word of verse 4. That's two words, but I understand. Products of the public school system. I understand. Sorry. But my life was all messed up. But I was living to the flesh. But I was doing my own thing, going my own way. But, and I'm going to tell you, it's a small word, just three letters, but it has a lot of impact. Because what it says is that it shifts direction. I was going down the wrong way. I was on my way to hell. Talking about sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, but redemptive. And the but here is followed by the greatest solution in the world. See, because the way that I was going, it was hopeless. It was dark. My past was dark. But my past had no light in it. But in other words, it was dark, but there's a solution. There is a solution. And that solution is G-O-D. But God, who is first of all rich in mercy. In other words, he got more mercy. He's rich in it. He ain't stingy in mercy. He's rich in mercy. He's got more mercy than you and I can use. In other words, mercy overflows. Because a God who is love, only mercy can flow from him. Because let me tell you just read what we were doing, how we were. We deserved death. Mercy is not getting something you do deserve. How many of y'all agree? We should be in hell. We should have been eliminated. But God, who is rich in mercy. I think David put it over in the 51st Psalm, says, God, who is plenteous. Paul says he's rich. David says he's plenty. In other words, if there's a plenty, there's more than you and I can partake of. In other words, we can't out-sin mercy. Oh, my goodness. Did y'all hear that? Because God's got mercy. Because you've already done enough to die. You've already done enough to be in hell. But God, who is rich in mercy. But it doesn't stop there. That just declares what he is. Just because he's got it. Bill Gates got it. We ain't giving you none. But God, who is rich in mercy, did what? For his great love, wherewith he loved us. It's out of his mercy that he loved us. Don't kill him. Don't annihilate him. Mercy. Mercy. Justice suited your case. But give him mercy. Because God loves you. God loves you. Now that we've read it separately, let's read 5 and 6 together, because they are a very powerful phrase. But God, oh, that means all together. 4 and 5, I'm sorry. But God,
even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
And notice that the by grace ye are saved is in parentheses. Come back to that later. It says, God who's rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive. Instead of killing us, he raised us. Instead of putting it eternally, solving the matter, getting rid of you, when you think about the fact that you could have been totally annihilated, and you know what? Some have. Never knew God. Just sinning, 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 doing their own thing. And wrath caught up with them. Never to know. Always to spend eternity in hell. But God, who had mercy on us, who had mercy, has quickened us together with Christ. We were dead, but God raised us with Christ. In other words, when Jesus Christ of Nazareth got up out of the grave and was resurrected, we were resurrected with him. Those of us who are saved, and that's why I put that parenthetically, by grace are we saved. He'll deal with that later. But God loved us so much, he made us alive. He took dead folk and made them alive. That's love. That's love. You think about a loved one. You had the power to raise them, bring them back. Would you do it? You better think about that one. Because it's real easy to say, Deacon Johnson, yes, I do it. But then you'd have to ask my follow-up question. The loved one is not a loved one. The loved one is someone you don't care nothing about. You don't care nothing. As a matter of fact, you're not happy, but you ain't sad either that they gone. Would you raise them up? Well, the follow-up question for that is why? Oh, you don't know kind of problems he caused me. Oh, you really don't know. Oh, this guy was a rascal. Oh, she was this. Oh, it was just so annoying. He was the worst person in the world. That's you. And God raised you up. Totally against God in every way. He raised you up. And he raised you up with his son. Because last week we found out he sent his son to die as a propitiation, as a satisfaction of his just wrath. Instead of you dying, he lets his son die and then raises you and I with him. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He says, first of all, if you really want to understand the overflowing love of God, you got to understand, you got to remember what you were. And what yes. you've now become.
Yes.
You were dead.
Yes.
But yet Christ reached down, God reached down and raised you.
Amen.
And hath raised us up together yes. and made us sit together mm-hmm. in heavenly places mm-hmm. in Christ Jesus.
In Christ, yes.
Now, you know Pastor Brown always quoting that little cute phrase, you're so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good. See, and the reason that that's an offshoot of the fact that many of us believe this scripture. They take it literally, physically. And you should take it literally. But the issue is, you're still here. You walk around on earth every day. But it says here that you are in heavenly places with Christ. That's positionally.
Yeah.
From a practical point, you're still here.
Right.
Positionally, you reside in heaven. So why are you so hooked up on the world system? So why y'all letting one man just run y'all crazy?
Right.
Worried about it. This ain't your home.
Right.
You're in a citizen here. Positionally, yeah. Jesus said, he didn't say, I'm going over to Malaysia. I'm going over to India. I'm going over to Africa. I'm going over to Europe. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that wherever I am, you are there also. Then I see the fact that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. That means that you and I, we have access to the throne on a daily basis. Dead folk, folk who lived according to the world system, who didn't know no God, who didn't care no God about no God, who did everything that can be done. You know, that's why, you know, in church, when something happens in church, everybody says, oh, I just can't believe that happened. Oh, I can't believe she did that. Oh, you that rascal! Y'all forget where you came from. And it should make you think, for all of those who think that their deacons are, for lack of a better word, suckers, you got to remember one thing. These boys came out of the street. They know exactly where you're coming from. Oh, they act all holy and pious. So, I'm offended by such remarks. The only reason they act that way is because they've been raised. Because God bought them from somewhere. But the little game that you're running, they know it. You ain't seen no game like some of these boys have run. They came from the same neighborhood you came from. Everybody know the game. Just because you're in church. Like the man said, don't let this suit fool you. But Christ raised you. He didn't differentiate. He didn't say, no, I ain't going to mess with Melba, you know, because she did this. I'm not going to mess with Terry because he's not. No, God loves us. He loved us for what we were, and he's proud of what we're becoming. We've been raised, and our citizenship is in heavenly places, all because he loved us. Now, you think about your enemy. And then you elevate them to be at your right hand. Your enemy. Because that's
how they described us, that we're alien, we were devoid of all divine content, and while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us, we were enemies of God, and yet now we reside in heavenly places. Because that's what love does. Love is a commitment. God shows us how we are to love. Love despite the background. Run a background check. It was like Cliff told me this morning. Trust but verify. Run the background check. And whatever you find, you got to accept it. How many good folk have we just weeded out of the church process because we didn't love them? And that was the reason. We'll say there, oh, well, yeah, now, Isaac, yeah, didn't she embezzle some money from the AKAs 100 years ago? Yeah. Ooh, really hurt her. That's right. Yes, sir. Made her red turn green. That's a, she, man, horns jumped up on her head. Yes, sir. But see, that's the kind of thing. Can you imagine how we offend God's sensibilities? And yet he accepts us because we've been raised and we sit with Christ. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding what?
Riches.
Riches of what?
His grace.
In his
kindness.
In other words, God loved us for a purpose. And the purpose of God's love is to show that God is love. And that his kindness toward us. Would you think that was a pretty kind act? No motive, no nothing. It ain't like us. We have motives. You know, we got that thing about keep your enemies close and all that. You know, that's why Trump had that boy who's going to be the ambassador to Huntsman. Yeah, he's going to be the ambassador of Russia. Arch enemy. So he was the sorriest man he ever met. Yes, sir, I'll serve. But God chooses you and I, knowing your background, knowing that you were an enemy, because he wants to show in eternity past, eternity to come, that God is love, and through his grace and kindness, it proves that he's love. His grace and kindness toward us has made us alive, folk. We were dead, and yet we're not. That's why we can sing that song. If he doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. He loves us. Ah, and all the evangelists and evangelism students and people ready for the campaign. They got the shouting. In Johnson, they got the saying. I didn't realize that we were going to have an evangelism class. Yes, we are. Because that's exactly what it is. He says, go teach. Baptize. And then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. And he says, what I want you to teach is that I love them. Because I've saved them. When you think about what you, where you've been and where God has brought you, you were dead,
yes.
You've been made alive,
yes.
And you're saved. You are saved. You were dead, you're alive, and you are saved. And this is what he said, Robbie. For by what?
Grace.
Read it together. For by
grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God.
Not of what?
Least any man should
boast. Just stop right there. This is week 8 of basic doctrine. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. God says
He wanted to make you alive to show grace and kindness. And he says, that same grace saves you. The love that I have, I give it away. Because that's what grace is. Grace, charis. Grace, a gift. And it says right here, most folk get the shout. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. In other words, you've been made alive. And you now have salvation, but it's all because of the love and grace of God. Love didn't save you. Grace saved you. You remember he said that he was rich in mercy. And he's rich in grace. He's rich in the things that, first of all, I should be judged, and he doesn't give to me. That's mercy. But he's also rich in unmerited favor. You didn't earn anything. And I know you were once that, and now you're this. You're saved, and you think that you pull yourself up by your bootstrap. You know what you were, you now know what you are, and so you think you've done it yourself. And Paul just reminds us, God's love produces grace through faith. And it's not of yourself. It's not of self-determination. You can't just will that you're going to be saved. It is not a cooperative effort. No. You ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Fred, this is where they be pulling out the knife. They be, you don't know what you're talking about. You know. But I'm going to prove it. And for those of you who are in basic doctrine this time, you can just take this note because it will be on the test. This one right here. Matter of fact, or not. First of all, when you look at that, I want to ask you, how are you saved? That verse there. By grace. Only by grace? Or what about faith? See? What happens? This is why. This is what happens. We think, we read this, and we get to shout, oh, it's just by God's grace. And my faith. Oh, they shout. Oh, they. Y'all shouting. I see it. Well, when you shout right on over to basic doctrine. Because the ones that are not shouting, they. Okay. It is at this point, doing basic doctrine, I'll just give you a little bit of a preamble of what's going to happen. I bring my sister Kendall, taught English, as you know, for years, and she's a master in English. And I normally let her, we used to diagram this particular verse here. And but her major contribution to the effort here. And I'd introduce it something like this. Look here, this is so simple. A child can understand. As a matter of fact, it's well below me. I'll have Sister Kendall come up and explain this to you. This is how we set this up. And Sister Kendall will tell you, first of all, that this is an inverted sentence, and that's why we get sometimes misled about what it is. Because we do read that and think, it's by grace and our faith that we get saved. But all you got to do is read the whole sentence, and it'll tell you. You ain't even got to know nothing about English, you know, to tell you. And she says, but it solves itself because in English, this is called an inverted sentence. And she says, what you need to do is take that inverted sentence and invert it and so that it is readable. But what we see, without knowing anything, we know that Paul is clear. It says that not of works, lest any man should boast. And Sister Melba, are you there for me now? I want you to go back to that same Romans 9:16. Okay. And who's my 102 students in here? because they won't believe me. Can you look up Titus 3 and 5? Because they won't believe me, Terry. They won't believe me. Okay, 9:16. Right quick.
So then it is not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Okay, for those in the back, are y'all at 9:16? Or y'all weren't lit? Sister Marshall, y'all was sleeping or something? Sister Mel was just reading. 9:16. Somebody read it back there, because I want y'all to hear this. Somebody back there read it.
So then it is not of him who wills.
Who wills?
Nor of him
who runs.
But of God who shows mercy.
It's not of you. You ain't got nothing to do with it. And you said, Brother Sneed, I don't care what you said. I took fifth grade English, and I know that it says through faith there. And so that faith means that it's my faith that gets me saved. Well, that would make Romans 9:16 and Titus 3 and 5. Anybody got Titus 3 and 5? While you're running there, it says what? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saved us by the washing, generation, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Basic doctrine. Evangelism. God's love for us is so great, so overflowing, because he saved us. And he saved us by grace through faith. Over, what's that book that I need to go to? John. John 3:27. So would somebody read that for me? John 3:27. You there?
John answered and said.
Who's reading?
Amen. All
right back here. Who's that?
Yes, ma'am.
A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven.
Give me my money back. That's what I do, Sister O, now. Because, see, Sister Kendall always says, if you don't learn nothing in this class, you can get your money back. Give me my money back. God doesn't have all the grace, and you got all the faith. God's got grace and the faith. It is God's faith, and he gives it to you. A man can receive nothing unless God gives it to him. Y'all better help me this morning. And so when I realized that I was dead, that I have been made alive, and now I'm saved, all because God loves me? Oh, I think about the overflowing love of God. God love overflowing, folk. I mean, in light of the scripture last week, where you saw that Jesus came and died as a substitute for you and I. That's overflowing love. Verse 10 says, as we get ready to go. In other words, God saved us not by who we were, or because of how we were, or that we were so good, but we are his workmanship. And the thing about it, we're the workmanship after salvation. We're alive now. And that workmanship, y'all got to get this one. That workmanship, the purpose is, you don't work to get saved. You work because you are saved. In other words, there ought to be some evidence that you are saved by the kind of work that you do. But the fact that you work don't get you saved. I did nothing. But yet I'm saved. God really does love me. You are saved. You have an eternal home, all because God loves you. Ain't nothing you did. You didn't earn it. You didn't do nothing. God loves you and I. The love of God is overflowing. Because when I think about all that God has done for me. I was dead. I was made alive. And he saved my soul eternally. God really loves me. See y'all next week.